That's weird. That's fucking weird. We should probably talk about it. There's a mystery here.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Didn't see you there.
That
welcome.
That sounded really nice, Christy.
Oh, thanks.
You're like, hi, hello, welcome to our podcast.
Wow, me having a nice voice. Imagine.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's Christy.
Yeah, that's, you're Ashley.
I am. And this is That's Weird. Welcome to our podcast. We're thinking about making some That's Weird, like, retro keychains because
Ashley loves merch.
I love merch so much. I buy it from podcasts that I enjoy, and then I make it for our podcast because it's just fun and it's silly. But if you're in our Facebook group, you can vote on like the color or the phrase or whatever you want the keychain to be. If you're not in our Facebook group, what the fuck? Go join.
Yeah.
Please. That's also where we post like news and weird stuff. And you can talk to us.
Yeah. Or I feel like I don't usually talk unless there's a picture of a dog.
Oh, yeah.
But I will like your post and read it.
Which, I mean,
I don't Facebook much.
Let's be real. Facebook is terrible.
Yeah, but it exists.
It does. It's gotten a lot better, or at least my feed has, since I just joined a bunch of like dumb groups.
Oh, me too. It's all dogs. It used to be all dogs, too.
Yeah.
From like, because it's a combination of people that I knew from childhood and people who, like, you know, in college, you meet a whole bunch of new people. You don't really ever want to talk to them again or see them again or be friends with them. So you give them your name and say, friend me on Facebook. That way they can't actually contact you in a meaningful way, like by your number.
Correct.
So there are plenty of those people. Usually I just unfriend them on their birthday because it pops up.
Oh, my God, Christy, that is so rude, and I love it.
Because that's how I'm reminded, like, who the fuck is this person? It's their birthday? Unfriend.
That's the meanest thing I've ever heard, and I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
Because if I don't even say happy birthday to pretty much anyone on Facebook.
And, so sometimes it would be somebody popped up. I wouldn't know who they were, but all of their posts are like a new puppy that they got. So I was like, okay, you can stay. Still not saying happy birthday, but you can stay. So then my feed became a curated, like, only post of dogs and an occasional like sad post from somebody from high school age that I'm a horrible person. So I love reading them.
That's fantastic. Facebook really is like it's the worst. I'd rather be, I know that they're owned by the same company now, but like Instagram for more cute animal photos,
right?
Or Twitter, it's a hellscape, but it's also so entertaining.
It's true. It's got all the memes.
All of them.
Yeah. My sister told me she was thinking about quitting Facebook, and I was like, all right. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Like, save all your photos and quit Facebook. Like, who gives a shit? I never use it anymore. I'm just part of it for like groups and things that I'm on. And she was like, yeah, but she loves Instagram. And I was like, okay, but if you're quitting Facebook for Facebook reasons, like, you know, they own Instagram, right?
For Facebook reasons.
Right.
Same company.
And she's like, well, yeah, but like, they don't have all my information and like listen into my phone calls like Facebook did. And I was like, okay, sweetie.
If they don't yet.
You didn't think Facebook was doing that before until you found out they were.
That's the one time that it's true that, like, they are listening to you.
They're yeah, definitely.
You're not, it's not a conspiracy. You're not being paranoid. Facebook is listening to you and reading everything you type. And that's why you have those little targeted ads and shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so never mind. Don't join our Facebook group. Delete yours.
Delete your Facebook.
Be part of the resistance. Why not?
Oh, man.
Oh, we're finally on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
It only took 12,800 million years, but we're on there now.
We're on there.
And the link wasn't working for a while, but I got it to work.
Yes.
So I think you can maybe find us on there.
That's even better.
I might actually start using Spotify to listen to podcasts.
Wow.
Instead of Apple. Or maybe not.
Hmm.
This doesn't matter. Whatever. Speaking of Apple, Christy doesn't have iTunes. So I like to read her our podcast reviews.
Did we get a new review?
Hell yeah, we did.
Yes.
This one says weird AF, aka weird as fuck. Yes, these ladies know how to keep it weird. Their rapport is so witty and natural. 5 stars, 5 thumbs, way up. She has 5 thumbs.
So cute.
That was from Rubin. It's R-U-B-B-Y-N. Robin the Rubin.
Hey.
Hey.
All right.
You're amazing. And look at you for using the word rapport.
Hey.
Fuck. We have smart listeners, maybe.
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 From what we can tell.
If you want to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, I mean, whatever, that would be great.
Yeah.
But like, do your thing. This is episode 60. Oh my God.
That means it's your turn.
It is my turn. And I'm going to tell you all about the Bone Wars.
What? Oh my God. I can't fucking wait.
Christy's face. You're so stoked.
I can't wait to know what this is.
I got excited about it because I've already seen Jurassic World 2 twice. And like Jurassic Park is my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
And the Bone Wars has to do with dinosaurs. So the first few dinosaur fossils were found around 1824, which I feel like isn't that long ago. And I guess I thought we discovered them way earlier.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, there's a reason why people thought that dinosaurs didn't exist and that they made them up to prove that God didn't exist or something, because it's pretty recent that we found out about them.
It's true. I guess I just never really thought about it.
I mean, 1800s is pretty far too. It's like 200 years.
True. Yeah. Far enough away, but I don't know. It just that year really, really surprised me.
Yeah.
So after that amazing discovery that is dinosaur fossils, researchers and paleontologists became obsessed with finding more. And the Bone Wars took place a little bit later, a little bit after that, between the 1860s and the 1890s, when competitive fossil hunting had officially become a thing.
Oh my God. I love this shit. Can you imagine like little British dudes with their mustaches and like maybe like one intrepid like lady archaeologist, I assume, for
I
the
hope
movie
so, yeah.
sake.
Yeah, I hope there were some badass lady.
There's got to be, that just nobody said anything about them and they made them take all the notes.
You know what? That's probably fucking true. You know, they were there, but they were not written about in the history books.
Right.
So one feud in particular always comes to mind when people think of the Bone Wars. And that's the famous feud between Edward Cope and Charles Marsh. Cope and Marsh. These dudes didn't have much in common besides, I guess you could call it, a love of dinosaurs. Cope was born into a wealthy Quaker family in Philadelphia.
Oh.
What does Quaker mean? Do you know that?
They eat a lot of oats.
That was a good
it's
one.
Like a,
it's a religious thing, right? Or did I make that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a pacifist, like new Christian religion sort okay. of thing.
Where was I? Quaker family in Philadelphia. Okay, he became a naturalist, a member of the Academy of Natural Sciences, and a professor of zoology. Marsh, however, grew up poor in New York, but his uncle just so happened to be philanthropist George Peabody of
oh.
the Peabody Museum of Natural History, which is kind of a big deal. So yeah. he learned everything from him, and when Peabody died, Marsh received a huge inheritance, which is important because you kind of had to be rich back then
right.
to dig up dinosaurs. I mean, I'm sure it helps to be rich now as well.
That's true. But you can get grants from people. You just probably still are already rich because that's the kind of person who goes to college for something like archaeology.
Right. So I was actually listening. It might have been, it was another podcast. It might have been Ologies, but I learned that it only costs maybe like $10,000 to do a dig these days.
What?
Doesn't that seem kind of on the low end?
That sounds like you're using your undergrad student or your grad students as free labor is what that sounds like.
It's their internship.
I mean, I guess that, you know what? That makes sense. You have the professor that's already taking a salary from the grad students paying, and then you charge the grad students to go for their summer abroad to...
Oh, yeah. They're paying tuition or whatever.
They're paying tuition. They're probably paying room and board wherever they go. You basically only have to kick in like $10,000 for like lab equipment.
Yeah, that makes sense. But that's like, as far as the scale of doing fossil digs, that's like as cheap as it gets, like 10 grand. So if you have that saved up, don't have a wedding, have a fucking fossil dig. That'd be dope.
Yeah. Who's having a fucking $10,000 wedding?
That's true. For the
price of a
wedding.
Lots of people, but like, what?
For the price of like a normal American wedding, which is like, what, like 50 grand or something, you could have 5 fossil digs.
50 Ashley, who's spending this much?
I swear. Let's Google. What is the
average? I'm going to guess the average, just because of crazy outliers, is going to be somewhere around like 15,000.
15?
15 to 20.
The national average cost of a wedding day in 2016, $35,000.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
That was 2016. So, I mean, 2 years, it's probably gone up.
I don't feel like I even have that much money.
Most people don't. Or like their parents pay for it. Or I guess I'm sure some people save up for the wedding themselves. But
can you? Okay. Picture what kind of fucking like honeymoon vacation would you go on for 30 grand?
Fuck. All my dreams. All my dreams.
Or you could just like live in a cheaper area and just fuck off for a year and not do anything and just have all your expenses be paid. That's a salary. That's a salary for a lot of Americans.
It's true.
For a year.
That's how much people spend on their weddings. It's fucking wild.
That's crazy.
I lost my place again. Okay. Where am I? All right.
It costs 10 grand to be a paleontologist now.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So Cope and Marsh, these guys, they meet in 1864 and they become like not necessarily friends, but
frenemies.
They are 100% frenemies. They spend some time working together. They even later name species that they find after each other, which is like so cute. Except that they fucking hated each other.
Wait, was Cope like, hey, Marsh, I found a new species. It's a fucking snake, so I named it after you.
That's 100% what happened. Like, look how ugly this dinosaur is. I'm going to name it Marsh. Yeah, it's...
I love that.
It's so petty.
I want to see this as a movie or TV series.
So it was supposed to be a movie right before James Gandolfini died. He was cast as, I don't know. He's one of them. And Steve Carell was going to be the other one.
Oh my God.
And it was going to be this movie. I don't know if it's ever going to come out with someone other than James Gandolfini, but.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Steve Carell, I guess, would be good.
Yeah, whatever. His moment's over, but like, it's fine.
Poor Steve Carell.
I'd still watch it. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying I would go see it.
I would go see it. He's a talented comedian and actor. I think that probably when they cast him in that movie, it was when he was like having a moment, and now they probably would just cast somebody else.
Oh, for sure. 100%. So right after these guys meet, Marsh, even though they were like friendly at that time, they hadn't started their feud, but they were total frenemies. Marsh started bribing Cope's workers that when they're on digs, he wanted them to send bones that they found to him instead of to their fucking boss, which is a real bold move.
Oh, yeah.
And Marsh also tried this trick on someone else because there's another guy involved in this story and feud. It's a paleontologist named Joseph Leidy.
Huh.
L-E-I-D-Y. Sure.
Oh, okay.
So he was a legit hardworking guy who just liked finding dinosaur fossils, I think. Aww. Like, he had nothing to do with these
fools.
He's
the real hero.
Sort of. he did get pulled into their feud quite a bit, but he was an actual paleontologist where the other two weren't. He was already established and respected in the field, and Cope actually studied under him at some point, so he does know these guys. In 1872, Cope got an unpaid position because he was rich, remember, mm-hmm. on a geological survey, which, of course, he could afford. And that meant that he would be able to travel and collect fossils, even though he wasn't technically qualified to do that. It was just like his hobby.
Sounds like some rich dude bullshit.
Yep. So Leedy had already staked out the territory. This was happening in Wyoming. And so he'd already been out there mm-hmm. working on this survey for himself. He was hunting for fossils. And then Cope just decides he's going to show up and take over, which, I mean, I guess it's super rude to take over someone else's bone bed, as they call them.
Yeah, that sounds... Would you say he jumped his bones?
Whoa.
Whoa. But not... No, no one would say that. That's not really a good pun. Sorry.
Yeah, so even though... Cope gets there and like Leedy is already doing stuff. He's like, I don't fucking care. I'm taking over. These are all my bones now. Go fuck yourself. Because Cope was a real asshole. He used his own money to travel out west. He hired some dudes who I guess were also employed by Marsh, who was also out there. Like, there are fossils fucking everywhere, but all these dudes are fighting over the same goddamn spot, which is how this feud like begins. So
go find a different patch.
Yeah, I don't. What the fuck? So now all this drama is happening over this particular Wyoming bone bed, kicks off the feud. The men become obsessed with getting to a spot like before the other one could, discovering a fossil. And then they were all about naming and publishing their finds and then like getting the credit, basically.
Of course.
So at this point, there weren't that many dinosaurs discovered. So if you could get somewhere first and dig up like a full specimen or something close, then you got to name it, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, they became just like, oh my God, I have to be the dude that names all the dinosaurs. They all had crazy big egos and they all wanted to be the quote unquote king of finding dinosaurs. but because they were all going so fast with their identifications, trying to one up the next one, they started to get shit wrong, which fucks up like all of our history.
Yeah.
Fucking dinosaurs.
That's why they keep renaming like apatosauruses to brontosauruses and back.
That's, we go over
it's
that.
It's their fault.
I know. It really is. It is literally their fault, Christy. In the spring of 1870, Cope reconstructed an elasmosaurus, but he attached the skull to the wrong end of its body. He put the head on the tail and he made this thing look so fucking stupid because its tail is like, I'm going to try to show Christy. I don't know. This is like the tail and then the body is like really small. And then he put the head like right here. I don't know. It looks so stupid. I'll show you a picture and I'll put it in my show notes. So he got that wrong and he realized his error, but only after he had published his research and got all this publicity about it. So it was everywhere. He tried to cover up his mistake by going out and buying every copy he could find of his published journal. But unfortunately for him, Marsh saw it first and he publicized the shit out of that story, making fun of him every chance he got. He then claimed that he found the mistake and he had to tell Cope, like he was the one that was like, hey buddy, you got it wrong.
What a dick.
I know. It
bothers me. Like, I hate it when people do stuff like that. I don't even care that the other guy was a dumbass. I just fucking
Yeah, it's some gross, dirty, petty shit. Like, I love it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
It makes me uncomfortable. So Marsh later gave a quote about this whole situation, this debacle, about the error, and he said, when I informed Professor Cope of his mistake, his wounded vanity received a shock from which it has never recovered.
Oh my God. And he has
since been my bitter enemy. Like, damn, dude.
Oh my God.
These guys out
this
for
guy
blood.
Is like, you know, the the blonde cheerleader character in every teenage movie.
Yes,
that's who this guy sounds like.
Marsh. Yeah, he's
Marsh, come on. Amazing.
And that comment, by the way, coming from Marsh is really fucking rich because this dude put the wrong skull on a skeleton called the Apatosaurus.
This fucking guy.
That was all Marsh. He claimed that it was a new dinosaur. So like the I think found the Apatosaurus, if I'm not incorrect. And he named it blah, 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 blah. And then he, in a rush to try to beat Cope, finds basically another Apatosaurus fossil, but he put like a different head on it or something and then named it Brontosaurus and tried to pretend like it was a different dinosaur so that he could have another discovery.
Oh my God. And that's why childhood is a lie because of this man.
I know. That's why there's so much misinformation about the Brontosaurus. Like some people think it never existed or it wasn't real. It was just that they were the same. Yeah. This guy's a dick. That's all.
Oh.
And if you're not familiar, the Brontosaurus is the really tall, long neck herbivore dinosaur in like all the Jurassic Park movies. I mean, I assume as a kid you
know what a Brontosaurus is. Yeah, and also Land Before
Time. Oh, yeah. God. What was his name in there?
Littlefoot.
Littlefoot.
It's funny because when he gets bigger, he's going to have big feet.
That's true.
The biggest.
The biggest. That reminds me, there's a movie coming out called Smallfoot with like a Yeti.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's like a kid's movie.
It's like, look, everyone, this is like a Bigfoot, but his feet are small.
Oh, that's right. Because the joke in the movie is that it's like a town of like Yetis and then a human shows up and they've never seen a human before. And they're like, oh, they do exist. And then they're like, look at his little foot.
Oh, my God.
That movie sounds kind of cute. Anyway,
I'd probably watch it and then be like,
I mean, just for like Yeti purposes, like, oh, I guess I'll take my nephew to see that. Sure, why not?
Sure.
So yeah, the Brontosaurus, real, just technically called an Apatosaurus. Well, now it has two names because for a while they like took away, they're like, Brontosaurus was not a dinosaur, it's the Apatosaurus. But now they're like, let Brontosaurus have its fucking name. Come on. It wasn't his fault or her fault. Brontosaurus could have been a girl.
Yeah, who knows?
Or obviously there were girl. I hate that I'm talking. I'm going to stop talking. whenever I get off my notes, I'm like, stop it.
Don't go off script.
I know. Never. Okay. So as retaliation for Marsh embarrassing Cope, even though he really just embarrassed himself, Cope started keeping a diary of all the mistakes and errors that Marsh made in the future. And he kept it in a drawer in his desk, which is... just so crazy. And then he later in a newspaper article accused Marsh of plagiarism and like being poor and having financial problems.
Being poor.
They were just some petty assholes, man.
And also, bitch, you're poor.
Also, you're poor, so like gross.
Oh my God.
This was really what they did to each other. And this went on and on and back and forth until Cope died in 1897. Both men fucking financially ruined themselves and alienated themselves in their industry by being fucking assholes to each other.
Amazing.
Ridiculous. And even though they were the worst, their feud led to more than 136 new species of dinosaurs being discovered.
Wow.
Plus an increase in knowledge of prehistoric life. And it sparked the public's interest in dinosaurs, leading to continued fossil excavation in North America. So,
well, Americans love drama, so true. I can see it.
It wasn't all bad.
It wasn't all bad.
They accomplished some good stuff with their fucking pettiness. There are a shit ton of like videos, books, articles, maybe even eventually a movie about these guys and about the Bone Wars. So if you want to get a little more in depth in the history of their bullshit, feel free. I kind of just gave you the abridged version. I'll link to a few sources in my show notes for some really good articles about them. And I found my topic this week, by the way, searching for Cadborosaurus.
Cadborosaurus?
The Cadborosaurus, because I wanted to do a dinosaur, something to do with dinosaurs.
Oh, of course.
That was weird. And the Cadborosaurus is the Pacific Northweird's dinosaur that may or may not have ever existed.
We've got one of our own?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's more like a Canadian thing, but like, but that's it. The Northwest is Canada and us.
Yeah. Cascadia.
It's called Cascadia.
It's called Cascadia.
And
it's how we claim good things about Canada.
Exactly. So the Cadborosaurus is somewhat similar to like Nessie and the Ogopogo, which we've already covered. So I didn't want to do like a whole episode on it. But the Cadborosaurus is or was more dinosaur than sea monster, I guess, which is kind of cool. Some people believe that it really did live around here back in the day and that we will eventually find fossils of it.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool. There have been over 300 sightings in the last 200 years. There are some crazy, like, early photos and even some videos of it. It could also have just been, like, a weird seal, though. Some of the explanations are like, that's just a weird-looking seal.
It's just a seal that's doing a weird face.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's one that has, it has, like, I think it's, like, an elephant seal that has that weird nose.
Oh, yeah.
So some people thought that that's what they were seeing instead of the Cadborosaurus, or that it was a pipefish or an oarfish, which are really long deep water fish that are scary and gross looking.
Ooh.
But as always, I want to believe. The Cadborosaurus also goes by Caddy.
Aww.
And I'll put one of her cool old photos that may or may not be her in my notes as well.
I can't wait.
So there you go. That was kind of quicker than I anticipated.
The Bone Wars.
I'm glad you liked it.
I love drama.
It's true. That was drama filled.
I'm the opposite of people that are like, I don't like it. I don't like drama. Like, I love it.
You're shoving that person out of the way. You're like, good fucking
good
move.
Good fucking move so I can hear this drama. Please tell them to me. I don't want to be embroiled in it, but like, please live your life in a reckless and dramatic way and then tell me about it.
There is nothing better than not being part of the like drama or the fight, but getting to watch all of it.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
As long as it's not like your two best friends fighting.
Whatever, man.
You're like, even that. I'm
even
all
that.
About.
If they're both my friend at the end of the day and I still get to watch it, yes.
Oh, shit.
Front row seats. That's what that is. Front row seats.
You're like, I'll take a front row seat to anything.
Anything. Listen, everyone's a dramatic mess sometimes.
So true.
It makes me feel better about myself.
Good. Anything helps.
Anything helps. One time I left the house and my hair was like just a fucking mess. And Matt was like, I had to take a shower and like get ready. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you look great though. That's kind of your aesthetic. And I was like, being a mess is my aesthetic. Coming from the person who knows me best in the world. Great. Cool. It's fine.
It is fine, Christy.
It's not like I brush my hair though. So it's, I can't say anything.
I've stopped doing my hair and
it looks great. It looks like you did it.
Thanks. Yeah, no, fuck straighteners and like curling irons. I'm over it.
Yeah.
I literally just like blow dry it a little bit because my bangs are out of control if I don't.
Okay, that's fair.
And then just like sea salt spray. And I got a delicious one that's coconut. And anyway, that's all you do.
Wow.
And then you just live your fucking life. Girls, don't even do your hair anymore.
Don't do your hair. Don't have an expensive wedding. You know what?
Ew, we sound awful.
Fuck it. Just don't do anything and just stay inside where you can be a little hairy rat person.
Hairy rat person? We sound like hippies from the Pacific Northwest.
Well, good.
Which,
great. Finally.
Finally.
Finally. Never shave your armpits.
We do like
even
tofu.
If it gets itchy.
I saw some impressive armpit hair the other day.
Oh.
It's
all right.
I don't have anything else to say about it, just that it was impressive.
They've been working on it a while.
It was a lot. Was a lot. I was like, damn girl, like she must have not. Why am I even talking about again? Why am I talking?
Please.
Don't go off script.
Okay, well, speaking of the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Mine is the most Pacific Northwesty, the most Seattle-y. It's Kurt Cobain's death.
Whoa. Are we doing conspiracy?
I'm doing the conspiracy, obviously.
Shit. Christy, I never knew, and I'm excited.
You never knew that there's a conspiracy, or you never knew that I love the conspiracy?
I never knew that you loved or that you were interested in Kurt Cobain's death conspiracy.
I mean, I mainly just knew that it was... I just Googled like weird Seattle things because okay. I was like,
That's funny that we both went into this like, I want to do a Seattle one because that's what led me down the Cadborosaurus. Okay. Anyway, Kurt Cobain, let's do this.
Well, okay. So Kurt Cobain died in the 90s.
The 90s.
1994.
Mm-hmm.
And since then there's been conspiracy theories. I read some wild ones, like just some off the wall ones where it was like, nobody thinks that. Like one of them, this was in a shitty clickbait article. One of them was literally like, maybe he faked his death and went to South America. Look at this guy who's clearly just some like guy from Peru who's got long hair, like impersonating him for a talent show on TV. Maybe this is him. And I was like, it doesn't fucking look like him or even sound like him that much.
That's like a rite of passage when you're a famous person that dies, that people think that you didn't die and that you actually, like Tupac, Elvis,
right? Why is it always South America? What's there?
It's like they went on vacation and just never came back. People, I don't know why people are so obsessed with that.
What's happening in South America that makes people think that it's so easy to hide from everything there?
I know. It's probably the people that come up with these theories probably have never been to South America.
Yeah. I mean, neither have I.
Great. But I thought you just went. No, never mind. You went to Spain.
Went to Spain.
Yeah.
Went to the original Hispanic area.
The OG.
The OG Spain. okay, so he died. He was found in his house in Seattle by like an electrician that was like coming to do stuff. Mm-hmm. He died from a shotgun and he was dead.
And he was dead.
And it was probably a suicide.
Probably.
It's kind of hard to shoot yourself with a shotgun. But I don't know how long the shotgun was. And you can. Like Ernest Hemingway did it too. But anytime somebody dies from suicide with a shotgun, there's always people that are like, well, it was a murder.
Because
it's
you
too
can't
long.
Shoot yourself.
You can't shoot yourself with a shotgun.
But don't people saw that shit off all the time?
Yeah. Like I mean, maybe it's a shorter one. Or I don't know anything about guns. Look at me. Do I look like I know?
I don't really either, except that I always hear the term sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've seen that in movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Ernest Hemingway had a normal size one and he just took his shoes off and used his foot to do it.
Whoa. Did he shoot himself in the head as well?
Yeah, with a shotgun.
Okay.
And there's conspiracy theories about that too.
Oh, shit.
Also, he thought the FBI was stalking him and they actually were, so...
He wasn't being paranoid.
He wasn't paranoid. He was right.
Yikes.
I love that. Anyway, there are so many conspiracy theories about it, but the main one involves Courtney Love, like, murdering him and shit. Okay, so I have a whole paragraph that's, like, a very ranty in my notes paragraph.
I love a good Christy rant.
First of all, is what it says. All right, I want to point out that people always hated Courtney Love because like when people make fun of her or when they talk about her, when they think about her, they're like, they paint her as some kind of like talentless, like slutty bitch that just like Yoko Ono'd his shit and used him for the fame and shit like that, because a lot of people want their pop idol to stay the same always, and so they project that need onto a woman in that comes into the picture in really sexist ways, like Yoko Ono and every other woman who's ever accidentally loved anyone who's famous.
That is sad but true.
Yeah. I mean, so I just want to mention, because I'm talking about basically how she murdered him is the conspiracy.
Right.
I just want to mention that, like, she had her own shit and she was had her own thing that was groundbreaking in its own way. And she probably could have been famous without him.
Her band was...
Her band was its own fucking thing.
Yeah, Hole was around when... Hole started around the time that Nirvana started. They had albums out.
Yeah.
Like they met on tour or whatever. So it's like she was already up and coming.
She was absolutely her own fucking thing. But people paint it as if like she just glommed onto his fame and then got famous too.
Right.
Because people can't take it when a woman is talented and deserves things. So
it's also fun to blame them for everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to point out that the main source of the theories about how she murdered her husband are basically just rooted in misogyny. That's it.
Perfect.
That's the main reason why she murdered him, because y'all are misogynistic fans. So with that, let me tell you how she murdered her husband.
Sounds good.
Okay, so there's a whole movie about this, by the way. You know all of this information already, but I'm going to pretend like you don't for our listeners.
I've worked in alternative radio for 10 years.
Yeah.
But I've actually never watched that movie. Is it Soaked in Bleach?
Soaked in Bleach.
I've never watched it, but I've heard about it.
It's a docudrama.
Oh.
It's... I watched the trailer. I'm going to have to link the trailer because it's fucking funny as shit. So there's a guy, his last name's Grant. He's the... Basically what happened was... in Rome on tour, Kurt Cobain OD'd on champagne and Rohypnol. Mm-hmm. And so they flew him back. Courtney Love called the police and interfered so that he didn't fucking die. And then they flew him back to an inpatient therapy recovery in Seattle. And then April 2nd or something, he disappeared. And so she hired a private investigator, this guy who made that film, to go find him. And then April 5th, I think a few days later, then he was found dead.
Mm-hmm.
And now the investigator is and here's why I think that she killed him. Which you were hired to find him and you didn't fucking check his house. How did you miss it? How did you miss that? How long does someone have to be sitting in their own fucking house just doing drugs and being suicidal and being missing from, where else did he go? Clearly he was in the Seattle area. He was either in the Seattle area or in his house. And you, a private investigator who's seeking the truth, couldn't fucking find him?
That's true. What the fuck, dude?
You're bad at your job. You're bad at your job. I could have found him.
Do you think he just sat outside and was well, he hasn't left in a few days, or so I don't even know if he's here, but never got up and actually went inside or looked around, or I don't know.
But from what I could tell, it looked like you could have seen inside through some fucking glass window doors.
Right.
So what the fuck was this investigator doing?
Or if he was sitting out there day and night, you think he would have heard the blast?
Right. I just want to know, what were you doing then that you couldn't find someone who was eventually in their own home, their own goddamn home? you couldn't find them. So, but anyway, I'm just saying, this investigator would not be the first who worked on a high profile case and then turned it into a book/movie deal for money.
That's true, because isn't he the most... When on the spectrum of Courtney killed Kurt, he's the most on that.
That's what the whole movie is about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason why this movie is fucking funny is he got actors to portray people.
Oh, no.
But he's just still playing him in the reenactments.
Of course he is.
Oh, my God.
Wait, who is that? The one with Michael, what's his face? Fuck.
I don't know. It looked like it was just some off-brand actors, basically. So this weird off-brand actress is just being Courtney Love and just saying dumb, crazy stuff. She said things save the American Idol and stuff like that. And then it's just her acting some crazy caricature of Courtney Love saying shit like that. And then him, the present day, just old dude, chubby dude, being I can't show this on radio because it's a picture, but he's just
on radio.
Just terrible acting of him being there's something wrong with this for sure. That kind of a
he's just
face.
A terrible actor.
It's just so fucking funny. I might want to watch it because of that. Because now that I realize that it's just him and then reenactments around him, I can't wait. But anyway,
Christy's crying from laughing so hard at this guy. Also, you definitely called our podcast radio, which I love.
I did. I couldn't think of the word audio. That's what I was thinking. It's audio, so you can't see the picture of the face that I was making, but it was bad acting.
It was wonderful.
For the listeners at home.
There was a furrowed brow. It was fantastic.
Yeah, but also there was a public access, shortly after his death, there was a public access show hosted by someone called Richard Lee called Kurt Cobain Was Murdered.
Oh my God.
And it mainly centered around like feeling like the case was mishandled by police.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, most of these things are basically the Grant guy is the biggest proponent of this. And then a lot of other people sort of glommed onto it. But these are the reasons why. And sometimes I'm like, and this is why it's bullshit. But so mishandling the police, like they ruled it a suicide the same day and publicly announced it, which he got a video of some policeman guy being like, yeah, that was probably a bad idea. Like that was probably a little bit mishandling it. They didn't send the gun off for inspection until way later and they couldn't use the fingerprints from it. There's some circumstantial evidence from police reports, like I guess... like the door, they just made some assumptions like, oh, well, he must have committed suicide because the doors were locked. You can't lock them from the outside, but actually you could lock the door and then pull them closed and then they'd be locked, like that kind of stuff. And also the heroin dosage in his blood. So people who cite this, every single person who ever mentions this is using a figure from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, which may or may not be correct because actual autopsy results aren't released to the public. They're private.
Oh, so no one actually knows for sure.
No one actually knows for sure except the police because you can't release autopsy results. So whatever figure that the Seattle Post-Intelligencer got is basically probably hearsay, if not completely made up, based on whatever, like, I don't know. It sounds like the name of a tabloid to me, but I don't know what kind of... paper that is. We don't have it now, do we?
Yeah, I don't think the Seattle PI is still around. They still tweet, but they tweet like I think other or they I'm trying to remember. They might only be online now.
Ah.
You can still see their big ass globe when you
are they legit?
Drive downtown.
Or are they like pseudo legit?
I think that they used to be legit.
So maybe they got that from hearsay, but it may or may not be correct because the actual number was never announced, but the amount of heroin that he had in his bloodstream was probably too high for him to have actually pulled the trigger.
Right.
So he like got a super high dose to incapacitate him. And then the suicide note, which they have and online, and I'll post it. It's like really long. Basically, what Grant says is most of it is probably just. Instead of a suicide note, he wrote it as sort of like a I'm leaving you and the music business note. And then Courtney Love, I guess that like a lawyer slash mutual friend of the two found a practice handwriting sheet in her backpack that matched the handwriting as if she was practicing his handwriting and then wrote the like extra stuff at the bottom of it.
Interesting.
To make it seem like a suicide note. And like people who are handwriting experts are like divided on this. Basically, some people are like, I don't know, you can't really tell, or like it's probably legit, and like some people are like, yeah, it's fishy. So who knows. And then basically another thing that people talk about is like in Rome when he overdosed on pills and champagne, nobody thought it was a suicide attempt at the time.
Just that it was an accident?
Yeah, well, and that sounds fucking, like, typical manager bullshit to me, where, like, imagine Kurt Cobain, the height of his fame, and he overdoses on pills, what are you gonna tell people? Yeah, he's trying to die, or, oh, no, like, he took too many, like, he was sick, they said he was, like, sick, he had too much, like flu medicine, like stuff like that. Nobody treated it like that. But so later, only after he died, Courtney Love said, oh yeah, that was a suicide attempt for sure.
Right.
But like, I can see that because like, you don't want somebody to want to commit suicide. And also, if you're always like high on something and like partying and accidentally taking too much is a thing that you can do. I can imagine in the situation, like, you know, having it be hindsight, basically, like he overdoses, but you make it so he survives because she's the one who called the police and intervened so that she's basically the only reason why he lived from that.
Right.
And then you take him home so that he can recover and he disappears from that and then dies 3 days later. I think in hindsight, you might look back on the moment when he overdosed on pills and champagne and go, Yeah, I don't know. I guess he probably was trying to commit suicide. Even though at the time nobody was like, yeah, that was a suicide attempt because he lived from it.
It's also, I think, hard for people to understand. I mean, hopefully they understand a little more now that like depression and suicidal thoughts, like it doesn't matter if you're the most famous fucking musician and you're rich and, you know, you have all this fame and you're, you know, you get to be a musician for a living. Like, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
Well, it's also, I don't know, stressful. And I'm sure it gave him a shit ton of anxiety and it made him unhappy. He didn't, yeah. Like, he was already an unhappy person and that didn't make him, and like, it just didn't fix it. Fame doesn't fix things.
Like, and also, like, it's a chemical thing for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Like, a lot of the articles I was looking up, like, were basically trying to, like, find, like, a reason or, like, track his like down his decline or something, like as if there has to be some sort of like visible downward spiral until you commit suicide. Like, that's not how it happens all the time. Some people are just like depressed all the time, or like they act happy and then like they have a moment where that's like this and then they die because they did something that could be followed through on, basically.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not, I don't know, I just thought that was the public perception of that, I think, makes it seem like her saying after the fact, oh yeah, he definitely was suicidal, makes it seem like she was trying to make her case. Mm-hmm. But like, I just think that's how that is. Like, I think that's how that works.
Right.
So I think that whole data point is complete bullshit, basically. Just saying like, oh, well, why is she saying that was suicidal when it wasn't? Like, well, maybe it fucking was. Like,
so she was the one that was there with him.
Right. Yeah. So so Grant's point is like, basically he says she gave him all those pills in the champagne, like too many. And then I don't know, like saved him from that, intervened so that she could have a better, more elaborate murder plot later.
Did they ever go over her motive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't, I still, anytime people say that she murdered him, I'm like, fucking, but why?
So, because they don't think that she had her own shit going on. And so they think that she murdered him because he was maybe going to divorce her and cut her out of his will.
She wouldn't
get all of his money.
She already had his kids. She was getting money from that guy, no matter what.
Yeah, there's no reason. And also, she was doing her own shit.
True. She was already famous.
She had her own bullshit. Like, she was fine after. Like, how much fucking money do you think that he had that she has to murder him because he's going to leave her?
Right.
And she has nothing going on? That's just such a, I don't know. It's definitely coming from a viewpoint that she has nothing going on for herself and she's glomming on to him. And so she has to murder him in order to keep her money.
Back then, that's when, like, everyone bought CDs and shit. Like, imagine how many people would buy a CD to hear about, like, Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain's divorce if, like, she put out, like, a whole record that was totally about that.
Right.
Like, there were just so many other ways that for her to make money when she already was. Like, that.
Yeah.
I just don't find that to be plausible. And again, she had his kid. So he already had to pay so much money to her.
She's
if they got divorced.
Money. But yeah, I mean, so there's also just sort of feeling like she didn't care that he was dead, and also that his lawyer was drawing up documents to change his will and divorce her. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. That's kind of like, how would you react if somebody who you knew was divorcing you died, and also you were high on heroin like 80% of the time?
I mean, yeah, I'm
like,
sure.
Like, how do you think that would come off?
She probably doesn't remember, I mean, most of what was going on back then.
Yeah, I just feel like that's not necessarily proof that she didn't react, like, appropriately. Because
right.
You never know. I don't know. I probably, like, if Matt died, I'd probably act like nothing happened. Or, like, he wasn't even, like, a part of my life ever at any point, like, for at least, like, a year.
Oh, my God.
Just straight up denial. Just, how are you? How are you dealing with this, Christy? Dealing with what? I love my cats. I watch a lot of TV. I ate a sandwich yesterday. The end. That's my whole life, and it always has been.
You'd get the Amanda Knox treatment for sure,
yeah.
Where they would be like, oh, she murdered him, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Or I would, I'd do the thing where, like, I'd try to act like everything was okay, so I'd be, like, too happy all the time.
And they'd be like, oh, she's not showing any emotion.
She's not showing any emotion.
You can't fucking win.
She seems like she's really taking this well. Or, like, I'd do the thing where some people, like, just move on, like, way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, she probably was dating that person already, and they murdered them together. And, like, no, I'm just emotionally needy, and I don't know what to do with myself.
Shit happens, man.
I don't know. Basically, I'm going to jail if Matt dies. Especially after this.
This episode, we'll see.
I would think that this should prove my innocence, if anything, which is why we're recording it right now.
I'll put this in the vault, and it'll be like, just in case of Matt's death, someone listen to this.
Anyway, in conclusion. So a cold case investigator has looked at the case recently-ish and decided it still didn't need to be reopened. A lot of the evidence that it's murder is based on, like, hearsay and, like, just sexist assumptions about Courtney Love and what her response was. Most law enforcement, most of his friends, most of his family all agree that it was a suicide. And this private investigator guy probably is just an asshole. That's my professional opinion.
So you do not think that she did it?
No, I don't. I don't know.
No, I mean, I don't think she did either.
I feel like it's way more likely that he just committed suicide.
Probably.
Rather than go through all of that elaborate shit. Why? Why?
It really doesn't make any sense. I mean, I get that it's weird, but, like, he was genuinely, like, he had demons or he had troubles or however the fuck you want to say that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I saw something about him having some really chronic pain, like stomach issues that bothered him his whole life.
Mm.
And I think he just committed suicide.
Yeah. I mean, it's really sad that happened, but, like, I think that's just what happened. Like, that people do that.
It happens all the time.
Happens all the time.
Anthony Bourdain, another example of, like, everyone who thought, like, oh my God, that guy has the best job in the world. He just travels and eats food and hangs out with celebrities, and he still committed suicide. So, depression, man. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
It sucks. However.
However.
Can I tell you that there was a recent news story? So, Francis Bean Cobain, his daughter, she married some loser. I don't remember his name, but they are getting a divorce, or I think it's finalized now, and he refused to give back her dad's guitar.
Oh, what a dick.
Total dick move.
That's not his.
He's like, it was a gift. Well, okay, but it's her fucking dad's guitar and he's dead. Like, just give it back.
Yeah, fuck you, dude.
Fuck that guy. Anyway, he says that Courtney Love hired people to kill him, and he's, like, suing her for attempted murder, which I didn't know that you could do.
Yeah.
Like, if it was actually attempted murder, then wouldn't you just be arrested? I didn't know people could sue you for such a thing.
I guess there are definitely cases where, like, if it's not provable beyond a doubt in legal court, you can sue somebody in civil court. Like, what's her face? The lady who was married to OJ did that. Her parents did that. They sued him in civil court for her murder.
Oh.
And they won.
Nicole Brown's parents did? Nice.
Yeah. They won. That's why his book that says, if I did it, has if, like, so small, and it says, I did it.
That fucking, I can't even.
It's so fucking funny.
Oh my God. I can't believe there's still people that think OJ didn't do it.
I don't know. You know what? There's a good case for his son, actually.
Oh, that's right.
I'm on the fence. Could have been either. But I do think it was probably him, because getting a million minor concussions fucks you up.
True. Very true. But so I don't know if the ex-husband of Kurt's daughter made up that Courtney tried to murder him, because he's like, people will believe this because they think that she murdered Kurt. Or she did, and now she's trying to murder that kid.
maybe. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I can't explain why people murder other people. Like, maybe somebody, I feel like there's maybe a feeling of, like, yeah, I did the thing. I got one over on people and I won. somebody's dead, I guess. But
it sounds like a mess to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
It's just a lot of drama.
It's, oh. But you love drama.
Which is why I love it. Also, my fact slightly pertains to Frances Bean.
Oh, really? Nice.
Mm-hmm. I didn't intend for it to be this way, but it's, so I found this fact. It's fucking hilarious to me. So, have you heard of Tony Alamo of Nashville Jackets?
No.
They were fucking the hotness in the 80s. Like, everyone was wearing them. Like, Mr. T was wearing them, and Brooke Shields was wearing them. Do you picture the jacket that Michael Jackson is wearing on the cover of Bad, the CD, that leather jacket?
Yeah.
That's a fucking Tony Alamo of Nashville jacket. Most of them were denim jackets, but this is like a fancy leather version. Just for that, because it was such a famous, cool trend.
I love the name.
They are. I mean, look, they do look cool. Okay,
but look, it's they do look cool.
Stonewashed denim jackets with like elaborate airbrushing, just the most 80s thing you can think of. Stonewashed denim jackets with elaborate airbrushing of like a cityscape or something. Bedazzled.
I love it.
Really fucking popular for celebrities to wear. They're having a moment now.
They're coming back.
People are paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for these like vintage jackets. Famous people are wearing them, including Kurt Cobain's daughter, Frances Bean.
Oh.
She's one of the celebs currently cited as driving that trend. Well, they were all made in a sweatshop in Arizona by men, women, and children.
Oh no.
Working up to 14-hour days for free in the service of a Christian cult centered around Tony Alamo.
What?
Yeah, it was a fucking cult. I just can't even imagine. And like they had all the bedazzling things. They had the children do it because their hands are so small.
They had to bedazzle by hand.
They put the little rhinestones in the setting themselves with their tiny, tiny small hands.
That is awful.
Yeah. And they were working for free, just sweatshop labor, because it was a cult.
Fuck.
And he eventually got sent to prison and died there because they got him for child abuse. Actually, he didn't just make them work in his sweatshop. He literally had child brides.
No.
Multiple. And it was that kind of cult. And he was selling these popular as shit Tony Alamo from Nashville. I don't know where he got the Nashville from.
Yeah,
because he was in Arizona. But he was selling these popular as shit jackets, which people in the 80s were still eating up, while he was on the run from police in the late 80s.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So the cult thing was happening like at his height of popularity.
The cult thing happened first.
Whoa.
Then they made the jackets. And the jackets were like, everyone was like, yes, this is great. And he was like, here, make these jackets for free, my cult members. You're doing God's work by getting money from these jackets to the parish or whatever they call them.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So these like hot as shit, admittedly, kind of cool stonewashed jean jackets.
Admittedly kind of cool.
Were made by child labor and abuse by a cult in service of a cult leader.
And that's your weird fact.
Yeah. It's like, I hate that happened to people, but it is the best fact. It's
oh
a good fact.
God. So is he in jail now then?
He's died.
Oh, okay.
He died in jail in 2017.
Oh, recent.
Yeah.
Recent as fuck.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he dead. And also in jail. Both. He's a ghost in jail.
He's a ghost. On the next episode of That's Weird. So we don't have any promos. Usually at the end of our episodes, we do like little promos for other podcasts.
Oh.
But this episode, we don't. So instead, if you're in Portland, be sure to check out the Portland Drab. Have you seen this?
No.
I'll show you. It's so cool. It's a monthly zine about all of our favorite things, and it's in black and white. It's like cryptids, spooky stuff, all things paranormal.
Yes.
And a lot of it is like Pacific Northwest. And they do a print run, but it's super limited and hard to find. It's like kind of like a scavenger hunt around Portland. So Ooh! I'm going to try to find the next edition because we're going to be in it.
Yes.
Which is exciting.
Yes.
But they also have an online version. You should check them out. Their Instagram is at Portland Drab. And yeah, you might see some familiar faces in the next edition.
I can't fucking wait.
I know. And you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at That's Weird Cast.
Yeah.
And all of our show notes will be at thatsweird.org.
That's true. I'm just very supportive of what you're saying right now.
Thank you, Christy. I really, really needed that. Oh, and we have a Patreon, so you should go there if you want minisodes, listener episodes, stickers, pins, all that good shit.
Yeah.
Good. Bye.
Bye.